You're listening to the Free to Be Mindful podcast, which invites you along on a journey to learn of mindful living, grow in mental health, and inspire through personal growth. In a world where we can often feel much stress and overwhelm, this podcast provides bite-sized tips and real talk conversations, empowering you to embrace mindfulness and nurture your full potential. I'm your host, Vanessa De Jesus Guzman, educator, licensed professional counselor, entrepreneur, and mom. I'm passionate about helping others live life with peace of mind and ease of heart without losing their, well, you know, here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 173 of the Free to Be Mindful podcast. I hope that you're feeling good, looking good, and doing better in this world than you were yesterday. I wanted to start off today with a podcast review shout out. Producer KFC recently said, "I love how kind and welcoming this podcast is." And for that, producer, I thank you. You may hear many podcasters or even YouTube videos saying, "Subscribe, rate, and review." And by the way, the visual portion of this podcast can be found on YouTube just by typing in the Free to Be Mindful podcast. And the reason why you're always asked to rate and review whatever it is, whether it be a video or a podcast, is because with so much content out there, it's hard to say, "Look at me, listen to me." And when a podcast or YouTube channel has these kind of subscriptions and followers or rates and reviews, the algorithm says, "Oh, someone likes them. Maybe we should show it to more people to see if they like their content too." And same is true for Instagram as well. The more something is liked, shared, and commented on, the more chances the post has to be shown to other people. So whether it be me or any of your favorites out there, if you'd like to help them out, be sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review. Okay, so on to the topic for the week. I remember 10 plus years ago, whenever it was daylight saving time, which I will refer to as daylight savings, and yes, with the S at the end, even though that's not the correct way to say it. Before having my son and even before having my dog, it would be great to go out the night before because you already rationalized it in your head that you would be falling back and having that extra hour of sleep. It was as though you passed the go on the Monopoly board, collected your $200. It was a win-win just because. Nowadays, though, kids and pets don't really adhere to this whole extra hour of sleep idea. Their bodies just get up in the morning. So if you dare to stay up late the night before, you'd probably be losing more sleep in the end. So in the US here, we just had daylight savings about 2 weeks ago or so. And now it's super dark by the time it's 4:30 in the afternoon. And it's so interesting because although we adhere to it because we have no choice, our phones do it automatically. And if we didn't adhere, we'd be an hour early or late to everything, depending on the time of year. But despite doing this, people don't really know where this even came from. An article in Time magazine shares how the first daylight saving time policy began in Germany on May 1st, 1916, in hopes that it would save energy during World War I. Super interesting. But then it went forward to impact so many other things, encouraging people to enjoy the sunlight, increasing outdoor activity, reducing energy usage, and really, it also affects our health in good and bad ways. I'm pretty sure it impacted farmers as well, but I don't know all the facts on that one. But time change, what I do know, is that time change can impact our circadian rhythm, and we have to take care of our sleeping patterns in order to help ourselves. I remember myself being in my 20s when I used to be a second grade teacher a bazillion years ago living in Central Jersey. I used to make plans on a random Thursday night, drive an hour and a half up to Hoboken in North Jersey, go out salsa dancing, only to drive back home like at 1 o'clock in the morning and teach young minds the next day without even having a coffee addiction back then and still being super effective. Fast forward 20 years later or so, the nights that I stay up, even in my pajamas, to 11 o'clock or to midnight It's still a huge struggle to even function well the next day, to function without a headache, despite the strong cup of espresso that usually gets me through the day. I truly believe, now anyway, that sleep is one of the most underrated things that impacts our health big time. And big time, I mean in capital letters with an exclamation point at the end. With our fast-paced, busy lives, lack of sleep, and even a change in our cycle, like daylight savings, can impact that further. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which we've all known to know well, CDC, has revealed that more than 35% of Americans get less than 7 hours of sleep per night. And once upon a time, not too long ago, when I was still working in schools, I was lucky if I would get 5 hours of sleep a night, and I would feel it the next day. Because whether or not we're night owls or whether we're early risers or somewhere in between, we know down deep inside, we may not want to admit it, but we know that sleep is important for our physical and for our mental health. And if you didn't know, I still think you do, but if you didn't know, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, discussing the benefits of sleep and the impact it plays on our systems. And we'll talk about some common questions that people have when coming up with ways to de-stress, with ways to stay well-rested and invest in their personal development. So if you have a friend or a family member or a young person that thinks sleep is just for old people who really needs to hear this, be sure to share this with them wherever it is that you're listening from. So again, back in my 20s, when I used to go out all the time, I truly used to say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Not a big deal. But now I know for a fact how much the lack of sleep can impact everyone, especially my mental health. Not just through my personal experience, but really based in science. When I got to my late 20s, I started seeing a difference in my functioning if I didn't get enough sleep. But nothing, nothing could impact me more than when my son was a newborn. And nothing is more impacting to any parent or caregiver than having a newborn child on your hands. Because even when my kid was in my belly, he used to be still during the day. And at night, he'd be like doing somersaults in there. And when he came out, he was no different. He used to sleep and be still like an angel during the day. And then he wanted to have a full-on party at night. And this is one of the reasons why maternity leave and paternity leave is so, so important. That is a whole other podcast episode, but we are going to focus on that aspect of sleep for today. Because it's not just a matter of when you get to bed, but it's also the quality of your sleep, how long you stay asleep during the night. Are you disturbed often? And let me tell you, if you know, you know, a newborn will definitely do that to you, which is why, again, moms go through so much because here you are taking care of this new creature in the world that doesn't come with a manual. And then on top of that, you're functioning on full-on zombie mode. We know sleep impacts us in so many ways. And again, when it comes to science, it tells us getting enough rest will sharpen our minds, our intellectual capabilities, our perception, our memory, our alertness, our productivity, whether it be at school or at work, and the overall importance and functioning of our brain. And lack of sleep, obviously, does quite the opposite. Getting enough sleep also impacts us on how we function. Whether this involves personal performance or how we interact with others, we can find ourselves having better reflexes and better responses because we aren't running on a few hours of sleep. Because we know, learning about mindfulness, that when you are not at your full capacity, you are going to react rather than respond. And then reactions is when things can get quite messy. It can also impact our moods. I mean, have you ever been running on a few hours of sleep and then felt cranky or disoriented? Maybe you felt more hungry, or maybe you felt more anxious, sad, or angry. If any of these sound familiar to you, you're not alone. Sleep can be a trigger for intense emotions that sometimes may feel out of your control. Certain sounds or events can even cause you to react in ways that you wouldn't typically react in. And that's because you're more stressed and you're more tired. And beyond that, sleep is important for our physical health, for our cardiovascular health, our organs, making sure that we don't get sick and more. It has proven biological benefits. Getting enough rest is truly key to our well-being. And then, of course, like I mentioned, in the opposite sense, sleep deprivation can have negative effects on our immune system, our heart, our brain health, our mental health, our nervous system, metabolic systems, and general feelings, reactions, behaviors, all the things. So building a sleep schedule that is set for setting ourselves up for success, both in bettering and improving our physical and our mental health, it's one of the key steps in our wellness journeys. And the fact is that typically we usually think about that last because it happens last in the day. But I like to think about it first because once we get good sleep, then we can start our day off on a better foot. So, with knowing how important it is to get good rest, what are some of the ways that we can get good rest, especially if we struggle with falling asleep? Because that gets to many of us. Remember the counting sheep methods when we were younger? I remember seeing that on Sesame Street, Ernie counting sheep at night, or having bedtime stories being read so that you could fall asleep. We know it's not always easy. And sometimes, well, especially when we're older, I feel like we so often our body's tired and we are exhausted, but it's like our brains just won't turn off. So let's get into some tips about how to help you get your sleep schedule to a healthier place. The very first thing overall is consistency. Trying to have a consistent sleep time is super important. Think about it when you have late nights for whatever the reason. Party, working, New Year's Eve. Sometimes that ruins our sleep schedule for the next day because then we're thrown off. And of course, not all the days are in our control. We can't control it all. Sometimes we do have to work late at night, or sometimes we do have outings in the evening that change the time that we do get home and that we are able to get into bed. And as we already mentioned, moms especially, and parents and caregivers can struggle with getting enough sleep, especially with newborns. And there are other things that are out of our hands, like having guests overstay their stay, a loud storm outside that maybe wakes us up, or maybe it's just one of those days where we can't fall asleep. But on days that we can, we should create a schedule that makes sure that we get at least 7 hours of sleep per day. Another thing that can help is bettering our environment or sleep environment. Making sure that our rooms, wherever it is that we lay our heads at night, that it's a clean, relaxing space that allows us to feel peaceful and easy to rest. I know if I go to bed and I haven't put my clothes away in a week or so, and seeing piles everywhere just makes me a little bit more uneasy, or it makes me want to stay up and clean it, and then that bites into my sleep time. Other things that we can check for is making sure that we have dark rooms. Sometimes that really helps if you have curtains that can block out the light for you. Making sure that our rooms are at good temperature, that we have supportive pillows or sometimes even blankets or weighted blankets to make sure that we're comfortable. And also making sure that you use your bed for sleep. Not for homework, not for working. We want to make sure that when we get into our beds, that it automatically sends a message, oh, this space is used for sleeping. And that sends a trigger to our brain to hopefully start shutting down. And that's just it. We have to relax our mind. This one is huge, especially for overthinkers. Our body can feel like it needs rest, but if our minds are still racing with thoughts, it can be really hard. And we can implement some mindfulness techniques to help us kind of just slow our minds down or even dump some things out that go in the spin cycle in our minds. And some of these techniques can include journaling, watching self-care videos, listening to soft, soothing music, listening to a relaxing podcast or a boring podcast to make you fall asleep, taking a warm shower, having a white noise machine, or as I like to call it, a whooshing machine. People say that it helps with sleep because it's calming effect and removal of distractions or loud frequencies that can take place outside of your bedroom. This reminds me of during the pandemic. I struggled a lot with anxiety during the pandemic, which came out in not being able to sleep at all. I remember it would be 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning and my eyes just wouldn't close. So something that did help was not only getting a weighted blanket, that helped a ton, but also listening to the sleep time stories on the Calm app that would always relax my mind and then just gently put me to sleep. Nowadays, to help me go to sleep, I love listening to the meditations on the Peloton app. It's almost as if it were my version of someone reading me a story and helping me to knock out before the story is even over. And lastly, and this one's really tough because typically our phones are our alarm clocks. Last week, we spoke about how social media can be used for good. However, when it's time to go to bed, we want to put our phones away. Excessive social media usage before we sleep can be distracting, making it harder to fall asleep, and even making us sleep in an uneasy way. I'm not sure about you, but I know sometimes looking at Instagram before I go to sleep, then all of a sudden when I wake up in the morning, I have dreams with like the last post that I've seen or one of the last people that I saw posting. So all of that makes a big impact again, not only in the amount of hours that we sleep, but in the quality of our sleep. So with all those things in mind, how can we make the most of getting things done so that sleep feels a little bit more natural at the end of our days? So having good sleep hygiene, obviously in the evening, does start with having a productive day. So making sure that we take the time to take care of ourselves, to make sure that we enjoy the little things in life, whether it's reading a book or treating yourself to something you like or taking pictures of the sunrise or sunset, making sure that you find joy in your day and that you are doing some things that you enjoy. Also, making a to-do list can be really efficient to make sure that you get the work that you have to get done, done. And sometimes this can include not just work responsibilities, but simple everyday things, grocery lists, projects around the house, having a calendar or to-do list or outlines that can help you stay on track and keep your day organized and proactive can really be helpful. This also lets you have an idea of what you have for the week so that you can stay on top of things and not overworking yourself and then experiencing burnout, which we'll talk about in just a moment. When we implement prioritizing our time, so asking ourselves, what has to get done for the day? What is most important today? And then when we plan, thinking about how am I going to navigate the priorities in a very efficient way? And lastly, when we proceed, right, once we've taken the steps to have good systems in place, we can then reward ourselves with rest and rejuvenation. And another aspect that is super underrated, especially when it comes to the quality of our sleep and really the quality of life, I think the top two underrated is one is sleep and two, exercise. We think that it's just all about like, you know, being thin or having muscles, but my friends, getting a workout in is shown to increase sleep quality, not only in the amount of hours we sleep, but also in the quality of our sleep. Although naps can be healthy, that can also be helpful. Feeling excessively tired during the day can sometimes get in the way for some of us to then be able to turn things down at night. Think about for toddlers, right? If they sleep too late in the evening, then they can't go to sleep later on at night. So we want to make sure that we get good rest during the day. And if we can squeeze a 15-20 cat nap in, that is shown to be helpful too. And now going back to the concept of burnout, because sleep and burnout tie together. Burnout is one of the most common problems we face. I don't have to tell you that. I think we all know that. And sometimes we don't even realize, though, that we're taking on too much of a load until it becomes too heavy for us to carry, and then we experience burnout. Sleep deprivation isn't always a thing that leads to burnout, though. But rest comes in other forms other than just sleep. Sometimes we struggle with falling asleep because of all of the other things that we're going through. There's a sleep psychologist by the name of Dr. Deirdre Conroy that explains the concept of tired but wired. And this is where the expectations of productivity in our work culture are so high that can lead to stress and anxiety, which are two main triggers in the tired but wired situations. And then other times we actually feel too sleepy. And once in a while, we can even sleep too much. And it can impact our diet, our social interactions, our lifestyle habits, and of course, our workplace productivity. And some symptoms of burnout can sometimes include feelings of being depressed or isolation or loss of motivation. So knowing all of these things, how can we handle burnout to feel happier and healthier? Well, first, let's learn to take breaks. This is so very important. We can take a mental health day from work. We can take small breaks while we're doing our tasks during the day. I love the concept of not just meditating for 20 to 30 minutes because some people don't have those chunks during the day, but the concept of mindful living, of doing things mindfully, your day-to-day tasks, so that it can help create a balance and make sure that you're not only enjoying life, but that allows for rest too. We can also turn to a support system, our families, friends, our online community, our psychologists and therapists, our sleep specialists. All of these people can be of great support. And in addition to turning outward, it's just as important to turn inward. Make yourself a priority. And this can be focusing on your mental or physical health, or just doing the things that bring you joy and bring you peace. You have to start that before even seeking outside help in order for that outside help to really make a beneficial impact. You have to practice kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Sometimes we hold these high standards and expectations for ourselves, whether it's because we hold on to guilt or we have expectations that, you know, we're used to placing on ourselves because that's the way we were raised or because we're perfectionists. We have to remember, my friends, that we are human, and treating ourselves with kindness and forgiving ourselves and forgiving others and letting things go are the things that help us find true peace. And above all, keep hope. Burnout can be prevented and it can be dealt with. Have faith in the process so that you're able to rise strong in the journey. So today we talked about the importance of sleep, how we can have good sleep hygiene, and the things to keep in mind to make sure that we can implement this sleep hygiene. It's important to dial in and make sure that we're listening to our inner voice, that we're listening to the things that truly make us happy and healthy, and getting enough rest, being kind to ourselves, and giving yourselves the love and care you deserve all goes hand in hand to feel good about your everyday life. I hope you got a lot out of this conversation. Remember to share it with a friend if you feel this message can be just as beneficial to them, and stick around for the short guided meditation. So right now, regardless of where you are or what you're doing, take a moment to just reflect on your current sleep schedule. Not just the moments that your head hits the pillow and your eyes close, but the moments leading up to that. What is your bedtime routine? It's not just a thing for kids. How do you begin to wind down? Do you ever wind down? And thinking of what you currently have in place, then begin to reflect on how you can improve that. Can you add a few minutes to your warm shower at night? Can you make time for a warm bath? Do you need to add candles or music to begin to wind it down? Do you need to take away perhaps a TV or social media to begin to wind down? Or maybe you try something new. like getting your thoughts on paper or trying an app or even a YouTube video to help you wind down your thoughts and to give you the hope that you can get a good night's rest. Remember, not only is it important, but you deserve to be well taken care of. And before it starts with anything or anyone else, it must start with you. Remember, my friends, that in a world where you are free to be anything that you want to be, you are always free to be mindful. Catch you next week.